Radio, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. Once again, I am Martin, joined by the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. I know, Brett, we're both very excited to talk to today's guest.
That's for sure. I know we've been listening to his guitar playing for many, many years, and super happy to have him on. His band Night Ranger has a new album coming out on August 6th, ATBPO, and the band played on. Brad Gillis, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, you guys. You know, I'm pretty excited myself about, along with the band, having this new record out on August 6th. And I got to tell you guys, the tough part about it, finishing an indie record is waiting that 3 months for it to be released. So yeah. we're excited too.
Well, and especially, I guess, in this case, right? Because you guys started writing, at the beginning of COVID, the whole lockdown part?
Actually, we started in September.
Oh, okay.
But we kind of knew we had the luxury of time. Things, the COVID thing was getting pretty thick. And so we had the luxury of time, and we were able to go in and really hone in this record and get the best songs and big production and really make it happen. Now we're just waiting for the rest of the world to hear it.
It's a really strong album. I think that what's good about it is it's got something for the old fans, but it's got something for new people as well.
Yeah, you know, kind of with all the records that Night Ranger does. You know, we try to do the fiery up-tempo tunes with the, you know, the twin guitars and the harmonies. And, of course, we always try to stick to the big choruses and three-part harmony choruses. But it's all about hooks and melody, you know. And you know, as far as my guitar playing, I've always been a pretty melodic guitar player. You just want people to hear a song and remember it and get it stuck in their head. That's what it's all about.
Well, there's no question at all. Bring it all on to me. You know, it's just like, that's in my head. I think it's constantly in my head right these days.
Wow. You know, it's a funny thing, you guys. It's like, even when I, me growing up being a fan of music and the stuff I grew up on and everything. And, you know, sometimes you listen to a song and you go, oh, that's okay. You know, then you listen to it again, maybe later that day. Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. Then, like, the third time you hear it, then it kind of grows on you like a wart. And you can't get rid of it. You can't get it out of your head. That's when you know you got something. So, it's always a listening feast whenever you listen to somebody's new record. But it's the songs that after, you know, three or four listens that grow on you. Those are the ones that you know are going to stand the test of time.
That was Monkey for me. I mean, I think Dance is my favorite song, but the song that I kept coming back to after a few listens, it was really stuck in my head. Monkey. Love that one.
Wow. Well, there you go. Everybody has their favorites, as far as band and friends, not the public because they haven't heard it, but the people that we've been doing interviews with, which we've been doing a lot of them lately,
yeah,
all over the world, you know, and you guys get the actual, you get to listen to all the cuts and complete, you know, so you've had a chance to really let some of the songs set in, and that's what we're waiting for the rest of the world to do. And I got to tell you, just the response from, you know, everybody from Sweden to Germany and the States, whatever, there, man, some people are like touting this as our best record ever. It's like, okay, I'll go with that. But, you know, I just think it's, you know, we had the luxury of time. It took us probably 5 or 6 months to start and to finish on this record. But of course, we had to do it. A whole new realm. I mean, we had to, you know, we never got together once. Jack and Kelly and I, you know, the nucleus of the band, the original guys, we started out in September doing a couple Zoom calls. And out of these Zoom calls, you know, of course, I had a bunch of guitar riff ideas and Jack had melody ideas and chord ideas, whatever, whatever. But we did quite a few Zoom calls and just would record, you know, when we thought we were, you know, coming up with something that was viable, you know, we record it. And then everybody living around the country in different spots, having their own home studios. Then we got Carrie Kelly, the guitar player, and Eric Levy, the keyboard player, involved. And we just kept passing around. Everybody started doing their thing. And then I get together with Kerry and we come up with these parts for harmonies and stuff and split solos here and there. And then Jack could start on vocals and start, you know, we all start singing backgrounds. But it was a strange way to do a record, passing around files to everybody and just keep throwing them around and adding parts. And then it got to the point where at the end we had too many parts. Too much. Then we had to pull back on some stuff, you know. But the final product came out well, and you know, we're just waiting for August 6th for everybody to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, how many songs did you write for the album to start with?
I think we had 15 or 16, and then we ended up with the 11 or 12. You know, we always do a bonus track for Japan, but you know, we had a bunch of ideas, but. You know, once we knew the crux of the record, the, you know, the best songs, that's we really just honed into those. You know,
when you're putting together the songs, like, do you and you're looking for the best? Like, are you looking for the best songs, or are you looking for the best Night Ranger songs?
Oh no, I think it's the best songs.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all about the songs. It's all about melody in the songs. You know, and I mean, either way you do it, it's still Night Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded it. We wrote it. You know, I mean, how could you say? I mean, you know, if we're writing it and we're finishing it, it's Night Ranger, you know. We try to branch off on different styles for the record, which we always do. You want your fiery up-tempo tunes. You want your mid-tempo, you know, rockers, you know, that groove. And then you a couple ballads. So we've always stuck to that format. Plus, you know, this, you know, the twin guitars and harmonies and, you know, some of the songs, you know, you have Kelly singing a verse and Jack singing a B section or vice versa. And, you know, we just try to get everybody involved. But I think Jack sang most of the songs on this record only because he had it going on with this record, especially Breakout. What I like about Breakout, which is the first YouTube single that came out, I don't know, a month and a half ago, whenever it was, is he went to the... He grabbed the highest, you know, he sang it to the top of his range. And when a singer gets right to the top of that range, that's when they get their natural distortion and angst and fire coming to their vocal. And I think that really shows on Breakout.
So that when it comes down to your guitar playing, and especially, like, I guess, what's the difference between playing with a guy like Kerry and then playing on your solo records or just playing as a single guitarist?
Well, basically you're playing with another guy. You know, I mean, you're, you know, so, I mean, I started out with Jeff Watson in the 80s where we, you know, the reason the two of us got along so well when we met is he had a totally different style, first of all. So we complimented each other on that. But him and I started hanging out. We were like, you know, partners in crime throughout the 80s. Oh, boy. If you only knew the stuff we went through in the 80s, it's just hilarious and funny to think back on. But it was just a great connection between us. Now, you know, then all of a sudden we got, you know, Red Beats in the band for a tour. And then we get Joel Hoekstra in. And then, you know, a couple of years back, we get Kerry Kelly in. And what they all had in common... All four guitar players, from Watson to Kerry now, and Reb and Joel, is they were all great players. They all had this a semi-similar style, and they were just great overall musicians. Meaning, not only are they cool to hang with, because you got to tour with these guys, you got to make sure you can get along with them. But they were able to sing, and they played well, and they had a great dexterity in their playing, and they were easy to work with. You know, this new record, you know, Kerry plays totally different than me. And that's where we're able to compliment each other, when we were going and doing this record. But you know, there's certain songs that fit somebody's style and you kind of let them run with it. Now, I remember back in the day when we did our first record, Don't Tell Me Love Me came out. I mean, Jeff and I had totally different styles and that really, it really transcended and broke barriers for the audience because it was a commercial hard rock tune that was all over the radio when Don't Tell Me Love Me came out. Plus, we had the luxury of MTV coming out with that 24/7 format of music all day, every day, all night, every night, that they didn't have enough videos to to fit their, 24/7 format. So they were literally playing our video 25, 30 times a day. And that really broke the band and Night Ranger and the song Don't Tell Me You Love Me. But, it's a different world these days. And, rock and roll, I mean, you're not seeing it in any of the Grammy Awards. You're not seeing really, I mean, you're seeing some rock, but not, the commercial melodic rock like the 80s, But us having a large fan base and touring all the time, we're able to do records and do well with it. And, of course, we always want to slip in a new song or two from whatever the new latest record that we're releasing into our set. So that's what we just, we just got done playing with Styx this last weekend and played with Hailstorm and a bunch of other bands the night before that at Rock at one of the big festivals. And so we threw Breakout in the set, and it's come across real well with the audience. So we're digging that.
And you had Corey Taylor from Slipknot on stage with you performing Don't Tell Me You Love Me.
Yeah.
How'd that come together? That was so cool.
Well, we're doing this heavy metal show basically, and we kind of tailored our set for more of our heavy songs. Like Eddie's coming out tonight and Touch of Madness and stuff like that just to fit in. But, we get there and Phil, Phil the Pantera singer and Corey, Slipknot singing, we're walking in the room, these guys, oh dude, Night Ranger. I couldn't believe how much these guys loved us, and to hear stories from both of them was like, oh man, when you guys came out in 82, Don't Tell Me You Love Me, and Brad, I loved you when you played with Ozzy, and it's just like big love from these guys, right? So to get, Corey goes, yeah, I'll come up and sing a verse on Don't Tell Me You Love Me. That was awesome. And then this last weekend playing with Styx in Ohio at the Fraser Pavilion, Tommy Shaw comes up and we do High Enough. He sits in with Night Ranger to sing High Enough with Jack. It was awesome. So, these fun little, spur of the moment things that happen during live shows with multiple bands, you never know what you're going to get.
And never miss a Night Ranger concert. You come into your town, do not miss these guys.
And where are you guys at? Where am I talking? Where are you guys at now?
Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Canada, all right. Love it. Actually, God, we spent a lot of time up there, man. Hopefully we'll get through there again.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, but, I got to tell you guys, now that things are opening up, shows are coming in every day. There's something coming in new, we just locked in the Kiss Cruise. That's coming up over Halloween. God, we got Japan just came in. They got us doing four shows in Tokyo this time. Then going to Osaka and I think Nagoya and Fukuoka, wherever they want to put us. And we just confirmed, actually a little while back, and I'm sure probably still going to happen, is opening for Guns N' Roses at the Sweden Rock Festival summer of next year. So, boom, baby. Mm-hmm. The machine's rolling.
I think the fans are so anxious to get out there again. What was the first show like? How cool was it after, being away for so long?
Well, that's the great thing about that was, all the shows have been sold out. And, fans are definitely jumping out of their seats and coming down to see us and digging them and just going crazy at the shows. It's pretty exciting because, just like us, everybody was pretty much down for those 16 months before things started opening up. But we wanted to stay above the, above the action here and do a new record. So, our downtime was writing material and recording a new record. I feel bad for all the road crew and for bands that kind of live off, touring with bands and all the other production people that have to do everything with the concerts that we and venues that we play, having to be down for so long, and just everybody in general that were down for during COVID. But now that things are opening up, it's just a groovy world knowing that we're going to be back to normal soon once they get a handle on this friggin' Delta variant,
I'm curious. Does Jack write all the lyrics?
Jack, yeah, he wrote mostly all the lyrics on the record. I think he got them with Kelly and a few, but I just pretty much concentrated on guitar parts, and I wrote the music for Breakout. That's all me on that. But everybody had their input. Jack sings a little more in this record than usual. Usually Kelly sings some more, but sometimes you just got to go with, you know, just like back in the day with Night Ranger. I mean, whoever sang the song the best, you know, sang it. You know, whoever played the solo for that particular song, that's what we went with. You know, me being a more melodic player and stuff, thing is, man, I back in the day, I knew Sister Christian was going to be a hit, and I just had to play that solo. It got me all excited when I went in and played it, because you know, I had the amplifier crank so loud in the studio that it there was a natural, and I was in the control room where the big board is, right, and the big, you know, long guitar cord going out into the recording room where my amp was. We had a basically the music coming out the amp through the microphone back into pumped in the studio, and had the studio speakers cranking so loud there was a natural feedback coming back that gave me natural sustain from feedback just from the loop of the way that the signal chain what we had going on. And so I, you know, and I work off of sustain and holding critical notes that I think, you know, I mean, you know, that I think fit the song. And, you know, the record company, they knew that Sister Christian was going to be a hit. And what they did is they didn't put her on the first record. They said, you know, a lot of bands get killed on their second record because they spend so much time on the first one. They come out with a second record and they can't compete with their first record. They can't, you know, write good enough songs as the start of it all, right? So basically they said, you know, we're going to hold off on your sophomore record, which was Midnight Madness, because we want you, you know, we want to break you guys in a lengthy fashion, you know? But then Jack and I got together, we wrote You Can Still Rock in America for the second record. So, you know, after Don't Tell Me Love Me came out, then Sing Me Away, which did okay, we went right in and recorded, we already had Sister Christian in the can, but wrote the second record with Still Rockin' America and stuff on. And then when that came out, all over MTV with Still Rockin' America, and then that little old ballad came out, Sister Christian, and boy, boom. And then when that was peaking on the charts, basically management came back and said, hey, man, I think it's time for you guys to headline. So we geared up for a headline tour. I'll never forget pulling into our first headline show, which is late 83, early 84, somewhere around there, pulling into La Crosse, Wisconsin to their 8,000 seat Coliseum, and pulling in with our buses and trucks, designed a whole stage show and everything, and pulling in and looking up in the marquee, and it says, tonight, Night Ranger sold out. It's like, boom. It's like, okay, here we go. And, you know, then from then on, we were like headlining, doing 250 shows a year all over the world. Japan, kicking ass. Japan did two Budokans in Japan and two nights in a row, and did real well all throughout the 80s. But I think a lot of it had to do with the record company's plot to release Sister Christian on the second record, and then also having You Can Still Rock in America to back up that second record, which went double platinum.
Yeah, it's funny. We don't often hear a lot of good stories about the record labels, you know, from artists these days. So it's kind of nice to hear something where it's just like, you know, the choice was made that was absolutely correct, and it worked to perfection.
Yeah, well, on the other side of the coin, guys, after Sister Christian, all the record company wanted to do was release ballads.
And yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so that they were smart enough to release Sister Christian, knowing it would take us to the top, but killed us by releasing ballad after ballad after that, thinking that we were, our niche would be being a ballad band, you know, so that was killed us. And that's why at the, towards the end of the 80s, we did a record. We didn't even give them a ballad. You know, we said, right. And they said, where's your ballad? We don't want one. We don't have one. Oh yes, you're going to have one. So they went out and sourced out another tune called I Did It for Love that somebody else wrote and made us go in and record it and release that as a single. And it just killed us, man. I mean, if you listen to that song, it's like, anyway, Oh, what about those Raiders? Oh, they moved to Vegas. Anyway.
Well, see, and I think that's the thing. Like now, I mean, when you have like, I mean, Can't Afford to Be a Hero is a great song and stuff like that. You've got a little bit of the slower, you know, ballady stuff, but it's not disingenuous like it had to be kind of in that phase of your career.
Oh, I love that song. In fact, I that's one of my favorite songs on the record. And being the guy that starts it out and plays most of the solo, I went in being a vintage guitar collector. I went and pulled out my 57 Strat and put it through a 65 Blackface Fender Deluxe Reverb amp and got that iconic sound that so many guitar players and bands have used throughout the decades, and got that nice clean tone for the intro and everything on Hero. And it just has that sound. And, you know, and I used I used the same guitar, but cranked it up a little more for the solo. But Jack was on a writing spree for this record, man. He just came up with some great stuff. And, you know, I'm just waiting for August 6th, man. I just want, you know, everybody that's hearing the snippets and all the comments on social media and stuff, they're like, oh, I can't wait for the record. No, no. Well, I can't wait for the record because I want people to hear it.
that is the things that we don't think about, even like, especially us as media in that regard, is just how excited you guys, we think like, oh, well, you guys have already heard the record. You know what the record sounds like, but not that you're going to be super excited for all the fans to finally hear this great stuff that you're putting out.
That's what I'm all about right now. This 3-month waiting period of finishing the record and getting it released is killing me, you know? So, you know, when it is released, I think people will realize maybe what you guys will realize because you've heard the whole record, right? You got the whole record, right?
That's
of course,
right.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, songs like Cold as December. I mean, come on, man. You know, Monkey and you know, I'm Coming for You. I mean, boom. I mean, this is some, okay, I'm going to toot my own horn here, man. I think it's a great record.
Absolutely.
I think it is too. I mean, it's awesome. And really, the most important thing is that I got to hear it.
Yeah.
Really, that's really what I was counting on. And I've listened to it three times, and I'm going to listen to it. I bet you at least 30 or 40 more times for this year's out because it's that good.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you guys, you know, like, you know, you listen to it quite a few times, and some of these deeper cuts, maybe it'll start growing on you, and the ones that you like from the first listen maybe will kind of fade away and won't stick in your head. But it's when you hear a song after 5, 10 listens, whatever, and you can't get it out of your head. That happens with me, you know. I'm on a bunch of records that I've listened to, all the bands that I love and stuff comes out and I listen and I can't get those songs out of my head, you know? And that's when you know you got a winner. Now there's songs, here's a classic example. My Sharona.
Mm.
When My Sharona came out, everybody heard it, they thought, wow, that's great. I mean, I thought it was the greatest record ever. But once I heard it 5, 6 times, it was all over the radio, I got tired of it. You know, and all of a sudden it turned it into it didn't stick with me anymore. And I kind of got tired of hearing it. Of course, a lot of people say that about Sister Christian because they played it so much, but still, that's still an iconic ballad that everybody loves hearing live and everybody sings along. So, you know, it's all about picking the right songs that people will get stuck in their head and the melodies, you're humming the melodies I mean, that's what music's all about. And also maybe telling that story that you can relate to, or, you know, I don't know how many times throughout the decades, you know, oh, man, I can't remember cruising down in my Z card with the windows down and cranking, you can still rock in America in summertime. I'll never forget those memories. You know, it's like, wow, that's what it's all about. Bringing back memories, you know?
For sure, you're part of the soundtrack to a lot of people's lives, and that's a pretty damn cool thing.
That's the way to put it. The way to put it. Soundtrack of your lives, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a whole different world now, you guys. We all know that. You know, you watch the Grammys and watch any of these award shows. There's no rock on there. You know what I mean? It's kind of just the way it is. But You've got a very large fan base, and we're touring, and it kind of makes it worthwhile to have this new record coming out because you know that the biggest diehard fans are going to know these songs. And at one point, we got to figure out what songs besides Breakout, which we just threw in the set. We're doing that live now. What other songs, a song or two to throw into the set? I mean, I think we're going to probably do some type of a fan, a fan link or something saying, hey, what's your favorite songs off the record? And once we find out the general consensus, we'll, you know, throw that song or two into the set to add something new, you know.
You know, it's funny you mentioned how it's changed, and it has, but I saw a list recently of the, you know, highest grossing artists of 2020. And, you know, it was Queen and Metallica and AC/DC and all these classic rock bands. So the audience is still crazy there. Yep, you bet.
Yeah, man. You know, I have an issue with radio. Even my rock station here in the San Francisco Bay Area where I live, you know, they're still playing all the great classics, which they do. But then, you know, when AC/DC came out with that record a couple years back, you know, they played their single for like a week or two, then it was gone. Mm-hmm. Then Journey came out with something years back. They played that for a couple weeks or two, then that's gone. And they just go back to the classics, you know. The problem is there's no real new rock radio in the country or to like it was in the 80s. You know, you couldn't wait for that new Queen record to come out. You couldn't wait for, you know, Journey's next record or Def Leppard. And Def Leppard came out with Pyromania. And all these, like, wow, all over the radio, but it was fresh and new. Now they're just playing it still, but it's nothing new, you know. So it's tough for a band like us or any other classic rock band to
They're afraid to make new classics.
That sticks. Yeah. Someone's got to bring that back. Mm-hmm. I'll give it up to you guys.
We would love to. That's for damn sure. But yeah, I mean, at least the demand is there. At least the fans are still there. And you know, I can't thank you enough for continuing to put out great music.
Well, it's what I do, you know, it's what we do. Jack puts it this way on stage. He goes, it's like, you know, like a shark, all a shark does is swim and eat, you know. If he starts moving, he dies, you know. It's like, you know, when you put out, you know, if you're just going and doing the same thing every night and you're not feeding off something new, you starve, you know, and it's much fun for us to create and put something new out as it is for listeners to hear something new. And to be able to play these new songs live, probably did Breakout 3 or 4 times, the last 3 or 4 shows. And, you know, you can tell the people out in the audience that have heard it because they're kind of singing along. But the people that never heard it before are like, wow, that was exciting. You know what I mean? Because it's so there's so much energy, you know, involved in playing that song.
Well, ATBPO, that drops August 6th. It's going to be available on all the platforms, but I hope people go and buy a live, an actual copy instead of streaming it, since those guys don't pay you nearly what you're worth. So let's hope everybody goes and buys the album. But other than that, where can everybody keep up with the Night Ranger?
Well, of course, you know, nightranger.com and Facebook Night Ranger. There's a site on there. I don't do much social networking. I should do more. But, the thing is, I'm so busy touring and writing music and doing TV music and all the stuff I do that me being a social butterfly isn't really my thing. But, you know, all I got to do is put up Night Ranger and you hear everything going on. The fans of Night Ranger or something like that is on Facebook. It's all about Night Ranger. What's it called? I don't know. But just look it up. You'll find it. But, you know, the album comes out on the 6th of August, and then everybody can really get a feel of what's going on with this band. And what we're trying to do here is put something new and fun and exciting and memorable and transcend that, playing it live to the audience. So we're excited.
Well, I think you've nailed it, Brad. And of course, you're busy, too. You know, you got, what is it, another solo album coming out and another project? So, I mean, lots of Brad Gillis coming.
Yeah, I'm trying to finish this project now. The whole problem is, with the Night Ranger record out, the record company doesn't want to pay. They want to wait a couple months before anything comes out. they didn't want to saturate it too much. But this record that I got going on, I mean, it's pretty fun. Did it here in my house, everything. And I got Derek Sherinian on it. He's like considered the number one keyboard player in the world. Played with everybody from Dream Theater to Billy Idol to Alice Cooper to Joe Bonamassa. I grew up with this guy, so he played all over my new solo record. I got Ross Valerie, the old bass player from Journey, playing out a little bit. I got the slamming drummer. I don't know if you heard of a band called Vicious Rumors.
Oh yeah, band. Totally. Yeah, because you did some songs with them on Warball, was it?
Yeah, I ended up playing a tune on a couple of their last couple of records. So they're all local by me, and they're all friends of mine. But trying to finish this record up and trying to get another couple more. I got Gary Moon singing most of the stuff. Gary Moon was the Night Ranger when the band broke up in '89 and Jack went with the Damn Yankees. I put together a band called Mega Mega, and that didn't work out. And we got Night Ranger back together with Gary Moon singing. He sings out the Feeding Off the Mojo record. Great vocalist, just great. I mean, you hear him, you know it's him. It's one of those vocalists that has his own sound. So he's on most of the record. And then I'm trying to figure out some other special guests and special singers to sing on it too, which I don't want to mention until it's happened. I don't want to jinx myself. But that should be, you know, hopefully be out early next year. But, you know, I'm just waiting to get back on the road with these guys and get the album released and playing some of the, you know, a few of the new songs live and just get back into the live groove, you know. We were down and out for like 14, 15 months, you know.
Well, we definitely hope that you get a chance to come into Canada so that we can see you and we can, you know, sing along to all the songs. And that's the best part.
We'd be happy to sing on your new album. We're not good at it.
That's
you know,
right.
We're still looking.
All right, you guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. And we'll talk soon. And I'll talk to management about doing a little run through Canada. I miss it. I think it would be fun.
Oh, yes.
That's
well,
awesome.
Thank you so much, Brad Gillis. All the best. And we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, you guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.
Get right in. I think you got too much at stake. my God!